Beerables Inc. is an e-solutions company that provides custom web design, web application development, and internet marketing services to individuals and businesses. They can build powerful e-commerce sites, mobile apps, develop content, and market you on social media. They can help manage your brand's reputation and provide rock-solid customer support. Call today at 1-800-651-6091 or email us at info@beerables.com for a free consultation today. Again, the number is 1-800-651-6091.
The Shaw Piralee Law Group and IMI Law Help, Inc. are proud to announce the release of the Immigration Law Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, and other renowned podcast channels. Immigration Law Podcast was designed to provide the audience with information on various U.S. immigration issues. The podcasts are unique because they are presented by the prominent attorney, Shaw Piralee, covering topics such as B-1, B-2 visas, visitor and business visas, H-1B visas, L-1 visas, O visas, EB-1 visas, student visas, perm labor certifications, national interest waivers, NIW, green cards, and citizenship. Although educational in nature, the podcasts provide a rare insight on immigration news and politics from an experienced lawyer's perspective. Immigration Law Podcasts, a unique perspective on immigration law. Download them from iTunes or Google Play. For more information, visit attorneyonair.com or call 510-742-5887. This is just an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is created by this ad.
If you own a property and have a second mortgage on it, and if you want to keep this property and get rid of the second loan, attorney Shaw Piralee can help. Call 510-742-5887. Due to the uncertain economy, many people have settled their debts for a fraction of its value. It's recommended to use an experienced lawyer to deal with it. Shaw Piralee is an experienced debt settlement attorney and has handled hundreds of such cases successfully. There are no upfront fees for debt settlement. Only when you win, you pay. Call Shaw Piralee, attorney at law, at 510-742-5887 or visit yourdebtsettlementattorney.com for a free assessment. This is just an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is established by this ad. The law does not guarantee success. Call 510-742-5887.
And now, from the San Francisco Bay Area studios, KLOK proudly presents to you the prominent attorney Shaw Piralee for the Shaw Piralee Law Show, coming at you with over 50,000 watts of power. The Shaw Piralee Law Show, where all your views matter.
Hello, everybody. Assalamu alaikum, sastakal, namaskar to all the listeners. This is Attorney Shaw Piralee for a new Shaw Piralee Law Show for the new year. Last week was a recorded show, but this week we are doing the show live. So the studio line is going to be open in a few minutes at 408-912-5565. 408-912-5565, and today I have my good friend Franco with me. Happy New Year, Franco. A belated Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to all the listeners. And hopefully this year, of course, is going to be a rough year. We are expecting that, but we are also hoping for the best, and a lot of things are expected to change in immigration and other areas of law. And we're going to try our best. I know we already have callers, but just to let people know, anything I'm going to tell you today, of course, is for educational purposes only. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any questions. The number to our office, 510-742-5887. 510-742-5887. We already have a bunch of callers, but we're going to, before I take the callers, Franco, I'm just going to cover some of the topics. A lot of talk going on, especially on the H-1B, the $100,000 bill, salary that has to be paid being proposed on a bill, but it has not become law yet, so we don't know what's going to happen in the next few months. But we are expecting things to continue at least to some kind of the same, but there will be a lot of hardship, of course, because things are going to be tough. But let me take one caller, and then we'll talk more about that. This is Shabra, you're live on air.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Mr. Shah. The question I had was, when it comes to immigration law, is it okay to hire out-of-state lawyer? So if I am in Texas, can I hire you as a lawyer in California?
Oh, definitely. When it comes to immigration law and some other areas of law like bankruptcy, you can do that. But not areas of law like real estate, like family law and contract law. Then you have to go by state law. Like I personally represent many clients all over the states. I think almost 35 to 36 states we have clients in. So yes, it is doable. It's always good to have a lawyer in your jurisdiction. But when it comes to immigration, you want the lawyers that have good reputation, and that's why many times you will see people will hire lawyers who are out of state. But yes, it's allowed because immigration is a federal matter.
Okay, great. And just one follow-up question. I have a brother who is who has a green card, but was out of U.S. for 8 months. He's coming back to U.S. after 8 months. What are the possible issues which could happen at the border?
Okay, for 8 months, usually the only thing worse they probably will give is a warning. But if he has done that many times, then at the border they might give him two choices. If in case he has done it many times, like every time he leaves for 9 months, 10 months, 11 months, 6 months, etc., then they might at the airport ask him to give up on his green card, and he should not do that, or they will ask him to go in front of a judge to defend his green card. So for 8 months, it's probably going to be okay, but it will affect his ability for citizenship, not really for the green card probably, unless you get an officer who is mean, then they will send him in front of a judge. But apart from that, 8 months is kind of okay, even it's not great. As soon as you pass 6 months, you should be worried, but once you pass 1 year, then it becomes quite difficult, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And also just to mention, even sometimes you stay too long outside, if you have a reentry permit, you don't have any problem. And also if you have people, if you have any extraordinary circumstances, like you're sick, you might also be able to explain that. There's no abandonment of the green card. Let me take another caller. This is Shapra, you're live on here.
Hi, so my initial OPT is ending in January 20th, and my college is impacted with the ACS accreditation. So first question I have is, do I need to worry about it? If the ACS accreditation is not approved or something, then will I lose my OPT extension, which I've already applied and is pending? And the next question is, do I need to take an admission into a university before knowing the status, or should I wait until I know the status? Because there is a 60-day grace period, right, after the OPT initial end date. So I have two questions on that.
Okay. The accreditation, in fact, I think almost 300 schools are losing their accreditation in the next few months. They have not really clearly mentioned the OPT extension, but I'm pretty sure, yes, you will have the new OPT extension will not be approved because the school itself is losing accreditation, and OPT is always attached to a school. So what needs to be done is to transfer to another school, and unfortunately, there's nothing that they have mentioned whether they will allow people to file for extension or not, but unfortunately, what I'm thinking, they will probably not allow that. You will have to go back to a student visa and find some other kind of solution or go in H-1B. But they have not really made clear about it so far.
Because some of them are saying that if my packet has reached the USCIS before December 12th, then there are chances that OPT will be extended. But is it true, or is it like just assumption?
Well, it might be true, but I doubt it because the OPT has to be attached to the school. to the student visa. And if the school themselves is losing the ability to keep their accreditation, then there's no student visa. And if there's no student visa, there's no OPT. So it's more logic than the law. But this thing happened so fast, within 3-4 months, they decided that they have not even provided for the other issues. So, and plus, with Trump in power, he's not really keen in the STEM OPT. He might even want to take this out. So we don't know how they're going to treat those cases. So we have to wait and see. I don't know the answer yet until we see how the government is going to treat it. Okay, but
okay,
you need
so
to be ready
question,
on your
so
side.
So if I take the admission into university, I heard that we will lose the, we will get a new service. So then do I need to wait until I get the result? Because the 60-day grace period will start after January 20th. So if I don't take admission, then probably I cannot stay in US, right? I need to get an admission. And also, I need to get an I-20 letter before, because the classes will start from May or April. So 60 days will be over within April or May. So what do you suggest?
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of very hard to tell at this point. But technically, yes, you can try to revive the I-20 with a new school, transferring the service. And if they accept it, then you should be fine. You will be able to stay here. If not, then unfortunately, you need to find another visa to stay. Maybe a B2, maybe going back and coming back on F1. So at this point right now, because all those rules have been made to actually discourage people, and to really kind of go with the school. So they're not going to make it easy, but you should try, talk to the new school, try to transfer your service. If the service is transferred properly and they maintain you, your status, they maintain the I-20 for you, you should be able to keep your status. But again, they have not addressed all those issues at this point. There's no answer for it yet because this is a sudden move.
But do I need to wait until I get the acceptance or denial and then transfer the service? Because if I transfer the service, then the existing OPT extension service will be rejected or closed, right? Then if I get an approval, then I mean that would be
as long as you're within the 60 days, yes, grace period. Because if something happens, you're out of the 60 days, you will not be able to go into. But at the same time, if you don't try, because they already put the instruction that people should transfer their service. So you waiting too long to transfer the service might be cut off. And once the service is cut off, the only way you will be able to get back, you will have to do a reinstatement or leave the country and come back to get a new F1. So it's risky both ways. The best is to be ready to do a transfer as soon as possible.
So within the 60-day grace period, they can reject the service.
Yeah,
also?
Because this is not a normal situation, right? The 60-day grace period applies to normal situation. This one, they already told people, if you want to stay here, transfer your service, right? So in a regular situation, yes, it would have been fine, but this is not a regular situation. So you need to be ready. I cannot really answer you, unfortunately, because I don't have enough information how they will treat people in your situation. We can only guess based on the law. And what they said is that people have to transfer the service. Because if they decide to cut off the school, the service will automatically be terminated, no matter there's grace period or not. There will be no grace period then. So you need to be ready for that. If I were you, I'll talk to a new school and get the DSO involved as soon as possible. Okay?
Okay, and one last question. So, do you think H4E?
I have other callers. I cannot take that many callers. No, I think I have more callers, so I cannot answer so many questions. Maybe if you want, we can give us a call. We'll do a consultation. 510-742-5887. Let me take another caller, Franco. This is Shah Parayu Avenue.
Hey, hi, Shah. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
So, I have a question regarding for filing H4EAD for my spouse. I am on H1B and my I-140 has been approved recently. But there is a letter misspelled on my last name in the approval notice of the I-140.
Yes.
So can I go ahead and file the H4EAD with that approval notice, or should I wait for the name corrected?
You file it based on that. But the mistake was from your side or the side of the USCIS?
That I don't know, actually. I'm not sure because my I-140 has been done by my company. So when I asked them, they didn't reveal it. They answered me diplomatically that there is a typographical error.
Well, it's not a big problem because at the end of the day, all your other data is matching. So go ahead, file the H4EAD for your wife. And
okay.
In the meantime, correct the I-140. So just go ahead, file your H4EAD, okay?
Okay. So you suggest there shouldn't be any problem?
Well, if it is just a typo error, these are called immaterial errors. They don't affect a case. If it is something major, like they put wrong date of birth, the name is completely wrong, and all the other data is completely wrong, then you worry. But just a typo error like that is an immaterial error. So it won't affect
okay.
your I-140 ultimately, so your wife should be able to file for H4EAD. Go ahead, file for H4EAD,
okay.
and if you need help, just give us a call. We'll file it for you. You can call
okay.
us at 50-742-5. Okay?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure.
Good.
Yeah, thanks.
Good luck to you. Let me take another caller, Franco. This is Sharp Rai. You're live on air.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, Sharp.
Hello. How are you doing, sir? Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for your service. So
no,
I am a green card holder, and I have a green card since 2008. I'm now applying for U.S. citizenship and for filling the N-400 form. So there is an employment history section, and in my case, I have been with a company A for many years. Since 10 years, more than 10 years. So, but that company A got acquired by company B in the last 3-4 years or so, and it's a big company. The company B is a big company, and then they put us as part of division, C along with another company. So now they sold us the division C to a private equity. So we are running that as company A again.
Okay.
But legally, it's still not company A because we are part of the division C. But it will happen. So my question is, how do I list all this in the employment registry? Because essentially, I've been the same company. It's just the ownership has changed.
But Did the name change?
The name of the company, actually, we're still running out as the same name, but legally it might have changed. I mean, the ownership changed to a bigger company, so obviously that name was not there as legally.
So what you're going to write it according to the name. So let's say for January 2010 to January 2011, it was company A. And then even if it's the same ownership, whatever, January 2011, 2012, it was company B, you're going to list it like that. It doesn't matter who owns it or anything, but you have to go by the name. Whoever is giving you your payroll, you go by this name. And you can easily explain that at the interview. It's not a big problem, okay? But you can explain later, or you can put it on the cover letter. It's the same company, except there were some mergers and acquisition, okay? It doesn't affect your application. You don't have to worry about it. Okay?
So this is something I can do by myself. It's a simple cover letter. Should be okay for this one?
Yeah. Well, it depends. You can write it. If you can write it. Otherwise, if you need help, just give us a call. We'll handle it for you. But it's not very complicated. It's just a matter of writing it in point form. From so-and-so date to so-and-so date, it was company A. So-and-so date to so-and-so date, it was company B. And then you can put a note, just please note this is the same company. There was a bunch of mergers and acquisition. That's it.
And I have to mention, what is the current legal name right now, whichever is being used legally or operationally? Because operationally...
It doesn't matter. You don't have to use... The word is mergers and acquisition. So you don't really have to do that. You can just explain it. Because the immigration, in citizenship, it doesn't matter as long as... It's a company, and you're putting the name as the way it is, it's not a big problem. But if you're getting confused with it, just give us a call. We'll handle the case for you. Okay?
And, one quick follow-up question is, do you think the citizenship applications based on, employment-based green cards will get affected with Trump coming in, or it should be shouldn't be
too
much of a risk.
I don't know, because right now there's something already there. It's called CARP, C-A-R-R-P. They just released a statistic that 42,000 people are stuck under this, like basically background check. But I don't know how Trump is going to treat it. That I don't know really. But I think he's going to be more focused on other stuff. But maybe down the road he will also be focused on citizenship. But at this point in time, I think he's going to be more focused on other stuff. Okay?
Okay, thank you
so
much.
Just go ahead, file your citizenship, and then if you need help, just give us a call. Okay? Good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Pray. You're live in here.
Hi, Shah. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, sir.
Sir, I have one question. My wife is looking for a job. She's on H4, but she has a H1. We converted to H4, actually. So now wanted to put it back to H1. Meanwhile, I have to go for my H1 extension along with the dependencies. So is there any conflict and how it could be taken care?
Okay, this is the thing. If you're going to file the extension for your wife and the extension is pending, and during that time you want to shift to H1, it might be a little bit difficult. Although it is possible, they will do the bridge because in order for you to change status, you have to be in status. And if the extension, let's say the extension expires on January 30th, and you file the extension, she's fine, she can stay here until her H4 gets approved. But let's say you want now to shift to H1 around February 15th. Because the time when the case is pending, she's not in status. She's in what we call a period of stay by the Attorney General. And technically, you're not allowed to really kind of piggy ride over this time. However, this new law that is being passed by Obama in January 17th kind of allows that. So we don't know how this is going to be treated under the Trump administration. But it's not a problem, but it can become an issue. If, let's say, she finds a job while the extension is pending, then what might happen, they will approve the transfer of the H-1B. Not transfer, they will approve it, but they will ask her to do consular processing. She will have to leave the country and come back to get the I-94. So anyway, there are ways to deal with it, but if she's in a solid H-4 status, she can easily do what we call a new employment, CAP exempt, H-4 to H-1. But while the H-4 is pending extension, she cannot really do that. She can only do new employment, CAP exempt, and consular processing. That means she has to leave the country, get a stamp of H-1, and then come back.
Excuse me. Okay, thanks, Shah. I have one last question, second question. My labor got filed, but it is under review, and the second review again for supervised recruitment state. So how far the possibilities of getting it approved, how it is?
Well, most of those cases get approved. They usually do that on random. Unless the company have bad reputation or they didn't do the work properly, the lawyer or the company didn't follow the rules, you will ultimately get approved. Again, same problem. We don't know the government changing how they're going to treat those cases. But most of the time in the past, I see them getting approved. It just takes some time. You might get delayed for a while until you see an approval. So you need to just be patient. Usually they can take up to 1 year or 18 months to get an answer. Okay.
Thanks, sir.
Good
Thanks
luck to you. You're welcome. So, ladies and gentlemen, we had a lot of callers back to back, and I'm so sorry. Sometimes I have to interrupt you because other people are waiting and they get upset if we keep them on the line too long. So if you want to do a perfect consultation, because whatever I tell usually is for educational purposes only, and I cannot really kind of give you full legal advice on the radio because that's not the purpose of it. The purpose is to give you general information. But if you want to have a real legal advice completed, it's good to contact an attorney. You can contact our law firm. We are attorneys. You can call 510-742-5887. And you can check our website, attorneyonair.com, attorneyonair.com. And also, I was talking, a lot of people are kind of getting really be worried right now what is happening on the politics level. Well, there are good reasons, like I said from the beginning, it's been 1 year I've been saying this, there are good reasons to be worried. For example, one of them is that bill that says, I don't know if they mentioned H-1B dependent, I think for H-1B dependent companies where they have a lot of H-1Bs, more than 50% on their payroll H-1Bs, they might have to pay a minimum salary of 100,000, which is going to have a chilling effect on many companies. So there are reasons to be worried, but until that law passes, we don't know if it is going to go through or not. At this point in time, it seems that there are discrepancies when it comes to what the government wants to do from the Congress side and Trump. So we need to wait and see. Many of them, I don't know the answers. I can only answer you by the law as it is right now. But we try our best to kind of foresee what will happen and deal with it. And you need to fight for your case. Don't just let it go because it's not you have certain privileges that you need to exercise. Let me take another caller. This is Shapira. You're live on here.
Hi, this is Praveen.
Hi, Praveen.
I have a question. There is like 6 years stay in US, right? Limitation on H-1B. I was here for L-1 on 2 years. And then then converted to H-1, and then I had 40 days here. Then I went to India, and I just got I-29. I got query basically. Then my company has applied H-1B CAT exempt, and I was there for almost 2 years in India. So and come back again with the H-1B CAP stamping. So will my previous L-1 be considered for 6 years, or is only H-1 is considered for 6 years?
You got the H-1B first, and then you got ahead and then came on L-1 and then went back for 2 years and then came back on H-1 as a CAP exempt, right?
No. First year I was in L-1, then I converted to H-1. Then I went to India and I got query. Then my company has applied for H-1 CAP exempt. And I came on H-1 CAP exempt after stamping on H-1 CAP exempt.
Okay.
But there is a gap of 2 years.
How much time you stayed in India before you applied for H-1?
It was continuous actually. H-1B was there, and the next year itself they applied for H-1B CAP.
No. When you got the L-1, you left,
yeah.
And the company applied for H-1 for you.
That conversion happened in the U.S. only.
Okay, then it will be added because they used the CAP exempt. If they had used a new quota, after you came back on the H-1, you would have complete. You will not add up the L-1. Otherwise, you have to add up on the L-1.
Okay. Or even the CAP exempt will also. If there is a 2 years gap, also the previous stay will be considered.
Yeah, because your gap happened when you claim back your H-1, you didn't claim back a new H-1. You claim back an old H-1, which was attached to the L-1. So this rule of 1 year will only be applicable if you ask for a CAP exempt new H-1B. You went to the lottery and you took it. The way you took it right now, the L-1 will be added to the H-1, unfortunately, because when you came back, you requested a CAP exam because you used a previous H-1, which was attached near to the L-1. So,
sorry to interrupt you, but my L-1 was with a previous company, but H-1 CAP is another company, basically. So, the H-1 is not like L-1 to H-1 conversion.
Because the way your company did it, they took the same cap. If they had taken a new cap for you, you would have gotten 6 years. Right now, they're going to probably add it. However, I've seen cases where people are able to claim that because they stayed 1 year, their H-1B should start fresh. But usually that rule applies if you went to the lottery again. And in this case, because if you had the L-1 and then you left for 1 year and then you got the H-1, you came back, it would not have added to the L-1.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's a little bit tricky, but you can always claim that you started fresh under 6 years, and I've seen this happen for some cases, but most of the time when this kind of things happen, they add the L1, and it's very hard to calculate it while we are on the just a quick radio call. But if you want, I can sit down, and if you want to give us a call, we can do a consultation on it and sit down, and I'll show you how it works. But the way your system, from what I understood, it seems like they took advantage of the CAP exam, which means you will have, because the L1 was attached to the H1 change of status, so those 2 years or whatever time you spend on L1 and H1 before will be added to your 6 years. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Shah. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Pray. You're live in here.
Hi, Shah. This is Vikram. And I have a question. I lost my job last month. And my wife is on F1 visa. So I converted my visa to F2. I applied. Right? Mm-hmm. And now within a month, I got another job. How now my another company, they would be applying for H1. So how it goes actually, if I want to stay here or then change the status, or like I can go outside of the India, it is mandatory outside of the US and get it stamped.
Yeah. Well, the way the system works at present, and that there will be some exception coming up in January 17 that is at their discretion. Technically, what you have right now is a pending F2, right? You don't have an F2 yet. You're in a period of stay, right?
Yes. I got the notice received.
Yes. And the H1B was probably terminated by your company, right?
They are not terminated, but within a month after that, they send the notice, they were saying. So.
Okay. So it's technically terminated. So what will happen in your case, you will apply for new employment, CAP exam, and in this case, you're technically not allowed to do a transfer because the F1 is not approved yet. However, in the new rule of January 17, they kind of allow something called a bridge. That means while the F2 is pending, you might be able to piggy ride on it. And this was not the law before, by the way. The law before was you have to have a solid status, then you can join in. So what they can do, new employment CAP exam moving from H1 to H1, but pending F2. So the lawyer will have to be smart how he write the case. And you might not need to leave the country to get the I-94. However, if this doesn't work, then the case will be sent to the consulate. You will have to leave, get a stamp. If you have a stamp, it's fine. If you don't have, then you will have to go to a stamping of H1 and come back on H1 and get your I-94. Okay?
So how can we kill this existing F2 process? Is there any process to terminate it? Or?
No, you're not going to terminate it. If you terminate it, you're getting more problems. Then you will be unlawful presence. Leave it like that, file your H1B right now. One thing your lawyer can do, he can try a transfer from H1 to H1 based on the pending F2 bridge. And then if it doesn't work, then the case automatically you will be approved, but they won't give an I-94, so you have to leave and come back to get the I-94.
Okay. Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
So you're welcome. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Pray, you're live on air.
Hi, this is Arvan. I have a couple of questions. One is related to the green card. I got my green card some time back, and I am eligible to apply my citizenship. But due to some personal reason, I am not going for it. Maybe I go later. The question here is the new Trump government. It could be any impact on that if you don't convert my green card to citizenship, or we can poll for it.
I don't know the answer because this new government has no plan and they don't know what they really want to do. But I can tell you anything that is going to be making life of green card holders or even any immigrants, even who are citizens, they will do it because the goal is to pretty much kind of give a hard time to people who are green card holders, H-1B, etc. So I cannot tell you they will make it, it will be more difficult, but they can. It's easy to make it difficult. For example, we already have a law called CARP, I was mentioning that before, where they block the cases from. And the highest cases that are blocked are usually from India, Yemen, Pakistan, and I think Indonesia, or something like that. So those countries have the highest rate of blocking their citizenship. So now if they want to expand on that, they can block more. They won't deny your case, they'll just block your case for years. So in short, your answer is yes and no. But we don't know the answer yet, but I'm pretty sure they will make it a little bit harder. But that doesn't mean people are not going to get their citizenship, because that's something that Congress have set up, and to reverse that is very hard. The only thing they can do is delay the case, okay?
Got you. My second question, quick question, is like, my niece, she completed her graduation April 2016 in the impacted colleges because of the accreditation. Mm-hmm. Now, she is going for the H1 filing this year. So would she be eligible to file on master exempt, or she needs to go for the regular H1B filing?
It all depends. Just because it took the accreditation, if the accreditation at that time was good, then she might claim for the master's. Again, those are stuff that they have not really kind of provided for. It would be safer to go on the regular filing. But nothing says that her degree is not a good degree just because they took the accreditation away. So the answer,
yeah,
in short,
graduated,
is safer to go.
College was accredited. So
yes.
Now the accreditation got removed. It doesn't mean that when she got accreditation, when she got a degree, it was not accredited.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. So at the time of the graduation, accreditation was good. So the law is just mentioned that if you are, but even on a master's degree, doesn't mean automatically you fall in master's cap. Because you have to first be in a non-profit school or a public school, and then you have to meet another requirement, which is not coming to my mind right now, but you have to meet those requirements. So even if someone gets a master's degree in the U.S., doesn't mean automatically they fall into the master's degree, so master's program. So you need to check that first, okay?
Oh, they need to complete a non-profit institution? Okay, got it. This is news to me.
No. There's a rule, and just because someone got a master's degree from a school, it doesn't mean they fall into the master's cap. The master's cap require, number one, that you are either a non-profit, or number two, you're a public school, even if it is not a non-profit. Plus, there's another factor which is not coming to my mind. That's what I was saying. I have it on my website. But if you don't meet those requirements, you cannot really be even though the school is still accredited, you don't get anything. So be careful on that. So the best and safest is to go on the regular CAP. Okay?
Got you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good luck to you, sir. Let me take another caller, Franco. This is Shapra. Are you 11 here?
Hi.
Hello. Hi. How are you doing, sir?
Hi, I'm doing good. This is Nikhil.
Hi, Nikhil.
A similar question. So my employer has been filing my H-1B petition for the last 2 years, and my petition was never picked up in the lottery, and this year is my last attempt. So I wanted to know if there are options for me to continue my stay in U.S., and I think I have like three options. I wanted to know if you think one is better than the other, or if even there's a different option that I know, I'm not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is like, to increase my chances in H-1B lottery, is it fine if I get multiple organizations to file my H-1B petition, which is legal, but I don't know what are the other loopholes.
Excuse me.
And yeah, so
these are not loopholes. These are just stuff that are real. Go ahead.
Let me just give the option, and then you can tell me which one's better. So the second one is, even if the H-1B is not picked up in the lottery, work for a nonprofit organization in between, which are H-1B cap exempt, and then apply for H-1B again next year. Or the third one that I saw is like, go back to college and, you know, continue working part-time and then apply for H-1B again. So, yeah, just let, if you can let me know which one is better than the other one.
All the three options are good. If I were you, I'll do one and two preferably, then number three if one and two is not there. That's all. But, yeah, and if you cannot get number two, you can go for number three. And number one, definitely, if you get multiple offers, you should take advantage of it because as long as the offers are genuine and it's not made up, you're fine. But if it is like companies that are just H-1B meals, then stay away from them.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. That's what, you know, that, if it's a genuine offer by a reputed company.
Okay. If you're applying, for example, let's say you're applying with Google, Microsoft, Yahoo, or whatever, big companies, not big companies, but genuine companies, it doesn't. It's fine because this is allowed. The USCIS have clearly stated in their memos what is not allowed is the same company to file multiple H-1Bs or companies that are affiliated to file multiple H-1Bs. But different companies can file H-1Bs, okay? And you should go ahead and do that, okay?
Okay. Awesome. And even if there is there any other option that I've missed that people usually go for, which is legal?
I don't have the time to kind of to go over this. But there are a lot of other options. Sometimes people don't know. You might have U visa. You might fear for your life, get asylum. There's many options, but only a consultation when I sit down, I can assess your specific case. So if you want me to do that, just give me a call at 510-742-5887. And I think, Franco, I don't have much time to go, so I don't know if I can take one more caller, last caller, and then so I think this was my last caller. So now we're going to talk a little bit about debt settlement, which is another issue, because a lot of people now are getting worried and are leaving quickly because of the situation, as some are getting laid off. Many companies are refusing to take H-1B candidates, etc. And they own houses, they have credit cards, they have loans, and they don't want just to live like that. They want to deal with those. And not only those people, but other people also who have spent a lot of money sometimes for the new year and now found themselves out of a job or some other kind of hardship, like a newborn baby, parents coming to stay with them, and they have issues. They have overused their credit cards, or they have taken lines of credit, or second mortgages on their houses. We can deal with those. We can negotiate those debts for you and get rid of them. And even some cases where people are being sued, we can still negotiate while the lawsuit is going on. And this is called a debt settlement. What the debt settlement does, we cut the amount to a fraction of its value. For example, you might owe $100,000, and we end up by cutting it to $20,000. That's just an example, by the way. And we can help you for credit cards. We can help you on second mortgages, depending on how much is the value of the house. We can help you on a bunch of stuff. And the good news for debt settlement is it's a contingency basis. So when we win, then we get a cut. If we don't, we don't get paid. So you should try us if you need help. And the website for debt settlement is yourdebtsettlementattorney.com. And the number to call is 510-742-5887. And just before I let Amit continue on the show, I just wanted to mention also the visa bulletin was out, and there was no great movement, unfortunately, on the categories of EB2 or EB3, so for India. So keep checking, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have youtube.com/sharpralilaw. I update because the radio show I do once and twice a week. But the YouTube channel, sometimes I update them like 3-4 times a week. So subscribe to it and you might get news. And also hang in there for all those. Things are going to get tough before it gets better. So don't just give up. And if you want to do a consultation or a second opinion on your case, feel free to call our office at 510-742-5887. And just to let you know, we don't do free consultations. So that's the way it works. The only time I can give you general advice is on the radio. And again, anything I'm telling you is my opinion. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any questions. Today is, I think, January 12th. And ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for listening. And Happy New Year again to all of you. And I think I have Amit on the line. Amit, are you there?
Hey, Shah. Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Amit. Sorry, we got delayed a little bit today.
No worries.
You have nine minutes to go. And I say thank you to Franco, thank you to everybody, and we'll be back next Thursday from 10 to 11. So, Amit, I'll let you take on the rest of the show. Thank you, Great. Ladies and gentlemen. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Shah, and thank you for having me, and Sat Sri Akal Adab Namaste to all the listeners, and this is your Bay Area Realtor, Amit Gambhir. First of all, I would like to wish everybody a very, very happy Lohri and Makar Sankranti in advance, and hope you guys are having fun with your family, enjoy, and just have fun and get together with them in your own house, because the house is a dream, and everybody wants to celebrate Lohri, their first Lohri in their own home. So it's a great occasion to have as well. So if you are actually planning to source a makan in the Baravis, definitely you can contact me, and I can definitely help you out in making your dream come true. Number to contact me is 510-299-9361. And my website address is, if you don't have time to write down the number, just go to my website and you can log in there, and I can definitely be reached there. It's GambhirAmit.com. That's GambhirAmit.com. So first of all, I'm going to be talking about market a little bit, giving you a recap what's happening. Market is still strong. Properties are coming up in the market. There were inventory was shortage about 2 weeks ago, but it's getting slightly better. As you know, a lot of people are planning to put their property in the market. This is a new year, so they want to test the new market and see how it's going. So, if you are actually also planning to do that, you can definitely contact me. I can go ahead and help you out with special offers we have, and we don't charge too much on the commission as well. So, if you want to know more about it and want to save money and want to know the price of your home to see, how much it is worth and what can I do to help you, get that price, and how can I, help you market the property in the correct way. So you can, for that, you can definitely give me a call. Number is 510-299-9361. On the other hand, interest rates have been going slightly down. They were up about 2 weeks ago, so they have gone down slightly. So if you're planning to refi or you're planning to buy the house, it's a good time to go for it. A lot of people are actually getting the 1099 and W-2, sorted out. So if once you have it, get together for the pre-approval. I always, put emphasis on the pre-approval first. Whenever actually you call me and want to work with me, I will let you know that my policy is to make sure that you guys are pre-approved first, then only I will start showing you the houses. If you guys don't have the pre-approval, we can help you. Our office is there. We do everything in our office, which is the property management, loan, and we also do buying and selling as well. So anything that you want to get done, it's right there. So you don't have to run around for anything. We have great lenders who can help you get the best rate, and they can definitely take care of that for you as well. So get together, since this is the W-2 and 1099 form time, it's time for you to generate some ideas, thoughts, and see which areas, which city that you want to move into, for your new house, for the summertime, for the new schooling and all the stuff. This is a great time to put together all your brainstorming together, talk to a realtor, understand market, and make a move this time, and get your dream house that you're looking for. So for that, I am here to help you. Number again is, you can contact me, is 510-299-9361. And as far as the investors are concerned, they are also looking at multiple properties. Multiple property, and you're talking to your CPA, you want to save money on the taxes. The best way to do it is 1031 exchange. If you don't want to pay any taxes, if you have a capital gain on the property, for that also you can contact me. We have done so many of those, and we have investors in house who can definitely help you out in getting the cash for you right away on the property, which with the fair market value. So if we don't want to, like, you know, put the market for 30 days, 60 days in the market, we can definitely sell it for you within 3 to 5 days with all cash, because we have investors with that who can definitely help you out on that as well too. The other thing for the investor I would like to know, let you know, is that, you know, if you are planning to invest, you know, your money in the properties, and you want to buy something for yourself, minimum requirement, Jerry Hege, it's 25% down. On top of that, which zip codes actually are making sense if you want to, looking for, as far as the flipping is concerned, or if you're looking for the better ROI or, you know, appreciation is concerned. The zip codes that I'm going to let you know right now is these are the ones that can make sense for you if you are looking for, like, the pocket that can help you out in getting the better appreciation. The first one is the Richmond area, which is 94801. The second one is three zip codes in Oakland, which is 94601, 94603, 94605. The other one that you can invest in is the Concord area, and then you have the Antioch. So these are some of the cities that are actually a lot of investors are moving to towards that, and, you know, getting their investment in there, because these are going to be, like, upgraded cities pretty soon, because, you know, the neighborhoods are getting better, you know, and the schooling's going to get better as well. So if you are thinking about the, like, 5-year terms, where to invest money and all the stuff, I would say look into these zip codes. And for that, if you can, you need to get help, you can contact me, and I can definitely help you out. The number to contact me is 510-299-9361. And we do have a couple of listings available right now. We have a listing coming up in Mountain House, which is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. It's a 2-year-old house. If you're planning to, you know, buy your home, you can contact me. It's going to be listed under 550 range, and there is no HOA on that one. Then we have a listing available in Fremont, which is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. And then we have a listing available in Union City, which is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. These are all listed. Actually, the Fremont one is going to be listed somewhere close to 700K. And then the Union City one is going to be somewhere at 750 price range as well. So, and then we have some great investment properties under 400K. We have one in Modesto, which is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and that is listed for $199,000. So give me a call. Number is 510-299-9361. The other thing is that if you have any problem with your credit, you're thinking about, you know, saving some money, you don't want to mess up your, you know, credit score for a long time, ode vaste tusi Sharp Rally di team nu contact kar sakde hagge ho. Ohna da number hai ga 510-742-5887, and they have done so many of these deals. Actually, other which koi payment plan nahi honda, but whatever your debt is, you know, they can go ahead and negotiate the debt with the credit people, and they can go ahead and negotiate it down for you based on that, so that you don't have to pay too much money on that one. So it's a great opportunity from both sides. Investment wise, I can help you in the real estate. We can save you money if you want to sell your properties. We have investors in hand. Anything that you want to do, our motto is to save you money. So for that, you can contact me. For the real estate, number is 510-299-9361. For Sharp Realty Team New, 510-742-5887. And for the, if you guys, you know, want to do party and everything, we do also do, give back to the community. And we have a special, Valentine program coming up in ICC. There are, you know, some celebrities coming up. If you guys do want to party with us, let us know. We can definitely hook you up with that too as well. And the celebrities that are coming is the Mehak Chahal and the Ashmit Patel. You know, it's going to be happening on February 11th in ICC Milpitas. So if you guys want to know more about the information on that too, give me a call. Number is 510-299-9361. And I think that's all I have for you guys today. So have a great day. Enjoy your Lohri and Makar Sankranti. So we'll be back next week. Thank you. Bye.
Are you an H-1B visa holder? Do you have an I-140 petition approved or have an extension under AC-21 provisions? Are you on H-4 visa? If yes, we've got amazing news for you. As of May 26, 2015, you or your spouse on H-4 visa might be eligible for a work permit, aka EAD. And to apply, you need a lawyer who knows about H-4 visa issues. Lawyer Shah Pourali has been at the forefront of this fight for H-4 rights and has actually helped make this dream a reality. Now, his firm is ready to help you or your spouse get their EADs. Call 510-742-5887 or visit www.splgpc.com to apply for your EAD. This is an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is created by this ad.